did you have the language typed up?
Yes, I have it.
Oh, okay. There we go. All righty.
So we could start on time, and then we can't do any activity on the bill till he gets here, so till we have a quorum. Do we know, is Senator Hoffman coming?
He wasn't planning on it. He had a schedule conflict, but if you need him for quorum, I could.
Well, as long as Wilson's coming, we're good.
Okay.
So we'll wait until the magic hour, like.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Well, we just started transportation 15 minutes late too, because it was me and Jesse Keel.
did you guys have a bill?
No, we had confirmation hearings. So, yeah. That, and then the overview we were doing was primarily at Mike's request, and he wasn't there yet. So, you know.
Okay, well, it's 3:30, so I'm going to go ahead and gavel in, and we'll just get to the point where we have to stop just to get the... Welcome and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today is Thursday, March 4th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:30 p.m. Today, we have President Vice Chair Senator Myers, and myself, Chair Hughes, and we're expecting Senator Wilson to join us shortly to make a quorum. Senator Gray Jackson has a bill being heard in another committee, and she might make it before we're done today. I expect this to be a short meeting, by the way. I'd like to remind members and those in the audience to please silence and or turn off your cell phones. You can't silence it once it's turned off. The staff that will be assisting us today are Christopher Dickrell with Senator Records and Alex Benazok with the LIO. And just a little fun piece of trivia. Alex's grandpa performed my wedding ceremony in 1978, so it'll be 43 years this summer to my husband, to whom I am still married. Also, we have Dawson Mann, who is our committee aide for the Senate Community and Regional Affairs. We have one item on today's agenda. We will be taking up a committee substitute for SB 15, Senate Bill 15, by Senator Costello. And at this time, we will await our quorum and we'll take an at ease. Record, and Senator Wilson has joined us, and as I mentioned, we just have one item on today's agenda. The committee is taking up the committee substitute for SB 15 by Senator Costello, and My aide will walk us through the summary of the changes to that bill. This committee substitute, I believe, was distributed to the members electronically yesterday, and I hope maybe you had a chance to look at it. And so at this time, Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chair, I move that committee substitute for Senate Bill 15, Work Order 32-Lima Sierra 0176 /Gulf be adopted as the working document.
I believe that is a forward slash.
Oh, excuse me. The papers are conflicting. Forward slash.
What is it on the bill?
Forward slash Gulf. You are correct. Thank you.
Actually, on the bill, it's backslash. So you were actually correct.
Slash Gulf.
Why don't you remove your motion and begin again?
All right. I will withdraw that motion and start over. I move that committee substitute for Senate Bill 15, Work Order 32-Lima Sierra 0176 /Gulf be adopted as the working document.
All right. And I will object for purposes of discussion. And at this time, I'd like to invite my committee aide, Dawson Mann, up to the table to go over a summary of the changes. So thank you, Mr. Mann. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Regional Affairs. Please put yourself on the record and go over the changes that are reflected in the committee substitute before our members.
Through the chair, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Dawson Mann, staff to Senator Hughes. I will be presenting an explanation of changes for the committee substitute for SB 15. Explanation of changes committee substitute versions B to G. I do want to note before I move forward that the CS reflects changes requested by the bill sponsor. Beginning at the top, title change. The following has been added to the title in order to conform to changes and added provisions. And relating to the duties of the Alaska Public Offices Commission and the Attorney General. Section 1, AS 15. Point 13, page 1, lines 5 through 14, adds a new section, AS 15-13-395, outlining the duties of the Alaska Public Offices Commission with regards to hearing and enforcing complaints of violations of Section 4 of this bill, AS 44.62.310I. This section also excludes members of the Commission from being subject to enforcement of AS 44.62.301I under this section. Section 2, AS 44.23.020, page 2, lines 1 through 10, adds a new section outlining the duties of the Alaska Attorney General with regards to hearing and enforcing complaints of violation of Section 4 of this bill, AS 44.62.310I. directed towards members of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Section 3, AS 44.62.310H, page 2, lines 11 through 14, is amendment defined the terms knowingly and public official under this section. Knowingly has the meaning given in AS 11.81.900A. 2, and public official has the meaning given in AS 39.50.200A9, but is changed to exclude judicial officers with regards to this bill. Section 4, 44.62.310, page 2, lines 15 through 23, is amended to add a civil penalty of up to $1,000 for elected or appointed members of a governing body who knowingly attend a meeting that violates the Open Meetings Act. This section is changed to outline that the Alaska Public Offices Commission will enforce this penalty in all cases except when a member of the commission is accused of a violation. This section also explicitly excludes community councils from the types of governing bodies subject to this section. Section 5, page 2, lines 24 through 29, provides that the penalties added by this bill apply no offenses occurring on or after the effective dates of this act and is amended to conform to the addition of new sections of the bill.
Thank you. And before we take any questions, if there are any, I just want to mention We have online available for questions Rachel Witte with the Department of Law, and that would be the section pertaining to the Attorney General. Tom Lucas with the Elastic Public Offices Commission, obviously, any questions related to APOC's involvement. And then we also have Robert Pearson with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. They're all available for questions. So, looking to the members, is there any comments or questions?
Not yet.
Nope. But thank you, Mr. Mann. And at this time, if I could get the sponsor staff to please come up. And please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Melody Wilterdink, staff to Senator Mia Costello.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Katie McCall, staff to Senator Costello.
Well, thank you very much for both being here. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd just like to know if you have any comments about some of the workings that you did as you worked with our office to bring forward this committee substitute.
Yes, through the chair, I would like to answer some of the questions.
Identify your name just because we have two women, female voices, please.
For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink. And I do have answers to some of the questions that were, well, all of the questions that were asked last session. So I'd like to go through some of those to get them on the record.
Please.
First, we were asked about violations of open meeting requirements in other states, how often they happen, and what those penalties were. As it turns out, violations are rarely penalized. Most of the time, when something does go to court, because in many cases these are misdemeanors, not civil penalties, it's to determine whether the governmental body is in fact held to the Open Meetings Act. And then if the court determines yes, those documents are then released to the public and future meetings are open to the public. There are some egregious cases that have happened in various states where people had to end up paying attorney's fees that ended up being tens of thousands of dollars. Sometimes they spent a night in jail for not holding open meetings, not recording minutes, that sort of thing. And so that is one of the documents you can see. So feel free to ask me any questions about those.
So in other words, in other states, they're going through the court system to handle this rather than through a civil penalty process. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes. This is Melody Wilterdink again for the record. Yes, sometimes it'll go through the court. Otherwise, it'll be an opinion from the Attorney General. So that is part of what we also see in the committee substitute if it is APOC as the defendant.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And that's great research that you've provided. Is there another question that came up or subject that came up before the committee last time that you'd like to discuss?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink. Last time, Senator Gray Jackson asked a question about how Senate Bill 15, now the committee substitute, and the Open Meetings Act would interact with the Code of Ethics in Anchorage. And what we found out is that actually the Code of Ethics in Anchorage refers back to the Open Meetings Act. And so somebody can make a complaint to the Board of Ethics in Anchorage, and they are an advisory board. So then they make a recommendation to the mayor, the assembly, the school board, whoever would be presiding over the person who is the defendant in the complaint. And if it is determined that they should receive a penalty, the penalties that they are allowed to give out are what's in the Open Meetings Act. So it actually just comes right back to what we have in state statute.
And currently in state statute, there's no penalty, correct?
That's correct. So actions can be voided, and it's specifically of a governmental body. It doesn't target an individual elected official.
Thank you for that. And I understand Senator L.B. Gray Jackson was particularly interested in Anchorage as she's served on the assembly. Do you happen to be aware of any other of our home rule local municipalities where they have anything that would be more extensive than what Anchorage has?
Through the chair, this is Melody Wolterdink. I am not aware of any other municipality that has similar ethics code that would refer back to the Alaska statute.
Okay. Are there any questions? I would have a question. Has the Alaska Municipal League weighed in on this bill by any chance?
Through the chair, this is Melody Wolterdink. Yes, actually, I have been in touch with Nils Andreasen. Just through email informally, he was very helpful in figuring out the difference between governmental bodies and whether community councils would be subject to SB 15, now the committee substitute. And what we found is that it is unclear. Alaska statute does not actually define community councils. And so to ensure that they would not be subject to the penalty, we went ahead and had that language added in.
And in your discussions with the Ledge legal drafter, did they feel like that language would be adequate and cover that, even though they're not defined in statute?
So we have, through the chair, Melody Wolterdink, so we do have a memo from Ledge Legal, very brief, and it says that this should cover it. If we did want to define community councils more specifically, we could, but having it in there will be sufficient.
Okay, thank you for that. And let the record reflect that Senator L.B. Gray Jackson has joined us. Welcome, Senator Gray Jackson. So we're right now, we've just reviewed the changes. There's an objection before us, and we've just had a question and answer period. So if you have any questions, this would be your opportunity before I remove my objection.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to apologize for being late, but I was at a committee hearing on one of my bills. So with that said, Madam Chair, if I can follow up, we're on SB 15?
Yes.
Okay. And the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. So we've been reviewing, they reviewed the changes, and could you, without reading what Mr. Mann went over, we excluded community councils, we put APOC as the one that would deal with penalties unless it deals with a commission member from APOC, and if it dealt with a commission member from APOC, then that would be routed to the AG. That's essentially the changes. There was a title change to be able to accommodate there. Is there anything I missed?
To the chair, there is one additional change, very small, and it's because the Open Meetings Act excludes judicial officers, but the definition of a public officer within the substitute would include judicial officers, and so it specifies in there specifically not judicial officers now.
Okay, so do you have any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any questions, but I'm really, really happy to see that community councils was removed from this. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, and we thank you for highlighting that last time, because my understanding that was not the intention of the sponsor. So does the staff have any further comments or to clarify anything?
Yeah.
Oh, now we have a question for you from Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just curious, perhaps this was covered in the last meeting, which I'm sorry I missed, but I'm curious as to the thought process behind picking picking APOC as the enforcement body for this decision.
Through the chair, Senator Myers, for the record, this is Melody Wolterdink. We spoke at length with Ledge Legal to try to figure out who would be the right person, and what they ended up telling us was that state departments can regulate anybody that they deal with, and because APOC regulates elected officials, it ended up being determined that that was the best group to handle this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanna make one comment, because during the last meeting I brought up how and the municipality of Anchorage, they have an ethics code that deals with Open Meetings Act, so I was really glad to see you actually put that there and also show that this bill would be basically the last remedy. Things didn't work out at that level, so I really appreciate seeing that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you for that, Senator, and your experience on this assembly is appreciated in this committee as well. And so, seeing no more questions, I will remove my objection, and the CS is adopted as the committee's working document. Are there any other comments from the members? So seeing none, we'll set this bill aside and bring it back up on Tuesday. It's my intention to consider amendments, open public testimony on the committee substitute, and then move the bill out on committee on Tuesday. The deadline for submitting amendments to my office will be Monday at 3 p.m. And I don't see any other comments from committee members. We have really quiet committee members today, especially on this side. So helps keep the meeting nice and short. So seeing that we have no more comments from members, our business is concluded today. The next Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting will be Tuesday, March 9th at 3:30 p.m. So seeing no other business before this committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 3:40 p.m.